Hallelujah. So this series will start today. It will go into next week. Upper week I will not be around. Hallelujah. Upper week I will not be around. I'm writing exams. I'm still a student. Hallelujah. So when I'm back, we'll continue. Hallelujah. Similar thing. Okay, I will make sure I round up Book of Galatians. Right? I might round up that. So that when we come back, we'll look at angelic ministry. Something like that. Angelic ministry. What was this? How do we command angels? Yeah, we look at a lot. Amen. Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority. That word authority is the word translated power. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Said they will cast out devils. Watch that. They will cast out devils. So they would speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly things, it shall by no means hurt them. Hallelujah. Oh, we are seeing that. Look at Luke 24. From verses 45. It says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Right? Now it says, why am I reading 45? I should be back. That should run down to 47. Sorry. 47. I said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among where? Beginning at? And you are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. He said that repentance and remission of sins. John 20, verses 23. John 20, 23. I'll start from verses 22. Okay, verses 21. And he said to them, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, and when he had said this to them, when he had breathed on them, he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins ye with me shall be remitted, and whoever sins ye forgive shall be forgiven. Or retained. Sorry, pardon me. Hallelujah. Somebody has heard me say this. Say, sir, is that what that scripture meant? I said, just keep quiet. Let me teach you well. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's take that one by each. Matthew 28. Now, we said this will be Jesus' closing remark, right? When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he appeared to them and taught them 40 days, right? So, now, within that 40 days, he gave them instructions. Now, amen. He gave them instructions. Now, listen. Now, within that 40 days, each of the synoptic writers will capture that instruction in different ways, but it's the same instruction. Hallelujah. They will capture it in different forms, different form, but it's the same instruction. Glory to God. Just the same way when I teach us, our notes are not always together, right? You will see similarity in what this says is right and what this says is right, but they are not in the same line, right? Right? You cannot have the same kind of where I put food, where you put food, so it's not true. Sometimes I will say A, you put the A in your own word, A. Yeah, it's just how you understand it. So they wrote the same instruction in different formats. Matthew will say, go make disciples. Now that word disciples is the Greek word matitio. It implies to make men students, like how you enroll a child in a citadel of learning. Hallelujah. So Matthew will say, go make disciples. Right? Mark will say, go preach the gospel. Now what Mark deals with is the entrance into discipleship. Mark will say, go preach the gospel, right? That is what Caruso. Go preach the gospel. Go announce it like a town cry. Announce it like a town cry. Glory to God. Go preach the gospel. Now that will be the entrance into discipleship, right? Which is by preaching the gospel. That's what I said. Therefore, when Matthew says, go make disciples, what is Matthew saying? Matthew is capturing both the entrance into the discipleship and discipleship itself. Hallelujah. So that means when it says, go make disciples, that is a shorthand for a bigger word, which involves what? First, preaching the gospel and getting men saved, right? Hallelujah. That is how you make men disciples. You preach the gospel and men are saved. Hallelujah. Did I give the topic? Being a loyal friend every day, right? Okay. So look.
When we look at Luke, he said, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached. Remember, what did Mark say will be preached? What did Mark say will be preached? The gospel. Luke now calls the gospel repentance. It's the same thing. You see that? So Luke now calls the gospel repentance and remission of sins. Hallelujah. Then how will John now put it? John will now say, when a man believes, he's forgiven. His sins are forgiven. Whichever sins he forgive, he's forgiven. Hallelujah. So that means when a man believes the gospel, he receives remission of sins. Hallelujah. I was reading something by E.W. Kenyon this morning again. I've read it over and over again. He said something. He said, what in the church for a believer, the believer does not have a sin problem. We don't have a sin problem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Because when a man believes, he receives forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's look at this again. So when a man believes in his sins are forgiven. Now, remission of sins, when he said forgiveness of sins, look at what Jesus said. Jesus was telling his disciples, and he told his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. That is powerful. That means he's giving, because it's only God that forgives sins, right? But he tells his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. That is serious. Hallelujah. Let's see something. It's only God that forgives sins. Isaiah chapter 43. Let's rush down to Isaiah 43. Quickly. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Look at it. It says, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for my name's own sake, and will not remember thy sins. This is God speaking. He said, he is he that blotted out transgressions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, quickly. Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah 31, 34. It says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their what? Iniquities. And I will remember their sins no more. So God forgives iniquity. Let's open to Micah. Micah. Some people have never opened their Bible to Micah before. Micah is after Jonah. Hallelujah. Jonah is after Obadiah. Micah. Micah chapter 7. Hallelujah. Micah 7 verses 18 into 19. Look at it. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Did you see that? And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He said, he retained not his anger forever. Hallelujah. Because he delights in what? In mercy. Mercy is forgiveness. Hallelujah. God's delight is in what? Mercy. Forgiveness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 8. 18. Isaiah 1, 18. Am I too fast? Huh? Isaiah 1, 18. It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, said they shall be as wool. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory, glory, glory. So he says, come, let's listen together. So we've seen that it's God that forgives sins, right? Right? So when he says, come on. So when he says to his disciples, forgive sins, is something you have to look at again. Hallelujah. But let's go a bit further. What we read in Isaiah 1:8, it says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together is a call to salvation. Hallelujah. Is a call to salvation. And in salvation, what did you say? It says, though your sin be as what? Be as scarlet. Say they will be white as snow. Hallelujah. So that means in salvation, what do we receive? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36, quickly. Ezekiel 36, 25. Ezekiel 36, 25. It says, then I'll start from verse 24. Say, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you together into your own land. You see that? And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Say, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give the heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, what is Ezekiel writing to? Ezekiel is saying, in salvation, what you have in salvation is not the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So that means when a man believes, what he receives is the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. So that means, that implies, forgiveness of sins is in God's salvation. You see that? Forgiveness of sins is in God's salvation. And in salvation, whose responsibility is it to save? It's God's responsibility. Did you see that? Salvation is God's responsibility. Hallelujah. And that salvation is given to man. It's to the, given to the man in Christ. That's what we read, right? It's given to the man in Christ. So that implies that the man in Christ, the new creation, the new creature or new creation is responsible for carrying out God's responsibility in all the earth. Hallelujah. The new creation man, the man in Christ is responsible for carrying out God's work, God's tasks in the earth. So when God said, when Jesus said to them, whosoever sins here forgive is forgiven, that means God will be doing his work through man. Hallelujah. Man has been given to, man will stand in the stead of God, or we put, God will carry out his responsibility, his task in the earth through man. So when a man is given to the cause of the gospel in the earth, it is God working through him. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. When a man is given to the cause of God in the earth, when a man is given to the ministry, hallelujah, it is God working through that man. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. When you sing, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, use me, Lord. Come on. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. To save the whole world. That's your church. That's your church. May be strong. Use me, Lord. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of your saving power. Millions grope in darkness. They're waiting for your word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Now, when you sing, use me, Lord, you are saying God should carry his tax in the earth through you, right? So how will God do it? So when you're singing, use me, Lord, and you are sleeping on your bed, you are missing it. Hallelujah. Use me, Lord, will be, I'm going to go out, right? I'm going to preach because that is how God is using me. Set my soul afire. You are not saying, I say, God, set my soul afire. No, it's in the course of the gospel. When I go out with the gospel, hallelujah, my soul is set on course for the gospel. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Amen. So, we said the background of this instruction by Jesus will be the Genesis. Hallelujah. The background of this instruction will be Genesis. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So, God's plan will be heaven and the earth. Heaven will be God's space in the earth. Hallelujah. The earth will mean will be used for man. Will be used for man. It will be used for man. Hallelujah. Let's leave it like that for that. Or the heart of man. So when you say heaven and the earth, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So it means in the beginning, God's plan from the beginning will be God in all the earth. Hallelujah. The heavens will mean God. Now, hallelujah. So heavens and the earth will mean God in all the earth. Glory to God. God in all the earth. Heaven in all men. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Heaven in all men. So God's plan is for the whole earth to be filled with his glory. Did you see that? That is his glory. What is his glory? Heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. That is God's plan from the Genesis. So in verse 2, we see darkness was upon the surface of the deep. We'll explore this during our teaching on where? On Galatians. Hallelujah. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Now, all you put, darkness was upon the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when it says darkness in all the earth will be, it shows you God's, I mean, man's heart, right? Man's heart of unbelief. We've done this study again. Man's heart of unbelief. Man's heart of unbelief. Genesis 1:2 is man's heart in unbelief. Verse 3 now says, and God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where is the light going to shine? Light will shine in the darkness. Right? Right? Darkness is upon the surface of the deep. Light will shine in the darkness. The darkness will be in the heart of man. God's light will shine in the heart of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says light in the darkness, that is God's responsibility. Who said let there be light? God did, right? So it's God's responsibility for light to be in the darkness. Hallelujah. It's God's responsibility. Hallelujah. And that light in the darkness, is it heaven in the earth? Come on. Light in the darkness, is it heaven in the earth? Now let me take you, let me go back again. In the beginning, God created the heavens in the earth, right? Heavens will be God, right? The earth will represent man, the heart of man, right? Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Darkness was upon the surface of the earth. So that means the earth, so can we say it's in the beginning God created heaven in the earth, right? Now the earth has been seen to be what? Darkness. And God said, let there be light. Where would the light shine? In the darkness. Follow me? So where would the heaven be? In the earth. Hallelujah. So if you look at the Hebrew word, when it says, let there be light, the Hebrew word there is hayah. It means I am light. Did you see that? I am light. So God calls himself the light. Hallelujah. Jesus will say the same thing in John 8 verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. In 1 John, John will say, God is the light. Did you see that? So when God said, let there be light, God is calling himself as the light. Where? In the darkness. So where will be the darkness? The darkness will be in the earth. The earth, that will be in the heart of man. Hallelujah. So God was saying, let there be light. That is, he himself will be the light in the heart of man. Hope you are following me. Would that be the same thing with the heavens in the earth? That will be the same thing. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hope it's making sense. Hope it's making sense. So, hallelujah. So, heavens in the earth, light in the darkness. So, God is calling himself as the answer to man's problem of unbelief. Man's problem of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's go on. Okay. He now gets to verse 26. He now says, and let us make man in our image. Look at this. God, Moses is writing different shades of the same thing. He's writing what? Different shades of the same thing. What is the same thing? Heaven and earth. God and man, right? Come on. Come on. God and man, right? Is that a union? Is that a union? The earth was darkness. The earth, you saw the earth will be darkness. That is God, I mean, the earth without the heaven is darkness. So God says, let there be light. Light in darkness, right? Heaven in the earth, light in darkness, right? Come on. God now says, let us make man in our image. Now, when you use the word image, is the word teslem. Teslem in the Hebrew. Now, teslem is used for the temple. Now, when the Hebrew, or when the people saw head teslem, let's make man in our image. Now, image is used for gods. And gods, listen, image is used for gods. And their gods will be found in the temple. So what does the temple mean? Temple means union of man, I mean of man and deity. You see that? So when God said, let's make man in our image, that is, man will be our representation. Hallelujah! Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Let's make man in our image. We're not talking about let's make humanity. No, he said let's make man in our image. So what will be the image of God? Come on! Come on! Come on! What will be the image of God? The image of God will be God's man, right? Right? Hallelujah. So when he said, let's make man in our image, is it the same thing with heavens in the earth? Come on. Will it be the same thing with heaven in the earth? Yes. Will it be the same thing with light in the darkness? Yes. Will it be the same thing? Right? Will it? It will be the same thing. When God said, let's make man in our image, he's talking about the same union. Hallelujah. Man to be united with God. So that is God's plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. A bitter head. In verse 28, he now gives the man in his image responsibility. He says, and God blessed them and said, multiply, right? Right? Okay, make sure you're there. Verse 28. You're there, I want to read. He said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue. You see that? Who did God tell? Man in his image. So that means when he says multiply, replenish. When he uses the word replenish, it has already destroyed every theology or every theology that says Moses was writing about creation. Moses was writing about creation. For Moses to say replenish the earth, he wasn't writing creation. If that were to replenish, you replenish what is already, you don't replenish what is just starting, right? Come on! You don't replenish what is just starting. Hallelujah! Glory to God! You replenish what is already there. So that means Moses was writing creation story. Hope you're following me. He says, replenish the earth. That is, make this kind that you have become, man in the image of God. He says, replenish it in all the earth. That is, replicate it in other men. Hallelujah! Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Aha. Glory, glory, glory. How many of you are following me? Let me see your hands. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So let's move ahead. So, how will they fill the earth with? How will they multiply, replenish the earth? How will they do it? By preaching, right? Will it be by preaching? Come on, go and make disciples. Preach the gospel, right? We that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Is that preaching the gospel? So how does God intend that the whole earth be covered? Through the gospel. Did you see that? So when he says this man should replenish, it means that is God's responsibility of his glory in all the earth being given to man. Hope you're following me. I feel I'm just too very slow. Too very slow. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. This will be a preparation for Book of Galatians because we'll take on this peak. Amen. We're going with this peak into Galatians. Amen. So when we're coming for that study in the Book of Galatians, come prepared. You know, we'll be starting in the morning by 10. So come prepared to eat. I feel that we might not have a break. We just want 10 to 4. So, hallelujah. So he that wants to finish his sleep by getting to prepare. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, let's continue. Where were we? So, it says, multiply, replenish the earth. So it will be God's responsibility given to what? The man in Christ. Is that the new creation? Is that a new creation? Hallelujah. So Genesis 1 is not creation story. Genesis 1 is God's redemption story. God is talking about his plan, right? Or Moses is writing about God's plan in redemption. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Okay. 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 So that will happen via preaching, right? Was that what I said? Okay, what happens now when it is preached? The man who is in darkness, the earth of the dark form and void, right? And darkness was upon the surface of the deep, right? When he hears the gospel and believes, you know, and the Spirit of God moves over the surface of the deep, that is the preaching too, right? So when he hears the gospel and believes, what happens? Verse 3 happens. Let there be light. I hope you have already. So when a man believes, light comes. That is the let there be light. God is not in his heart. Glory to God. Okay, so let's go down to Genesis 2. Hope you are seeing that this is not creation story. Right? No, this is don't. So don't try to mix it with science. You just get battered and bamboozled. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Let's just look at something else. Genesis 2. Okay. Verses 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Somebody that was around for CRC asked me this question. After CRC, I'm like, ah, sure, all right. He said, we're talking about, you know, he said that, you know, recently there have been this funny news. Okay, there have been this news on the media. You don't thank God for who I am following. Hallelujah. You don't preach a, how should I put it? You don't preach a situational message. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Situational message. There's not been news, this news of the death of a singer, and people are saying, divorce, this is nonsense. Hallelujah. So some people now turn this to church service. No problem. Hallelujah. But if, and that was happening during our service, right? So after somebody asked him, is it good for a person to divorce? That's okay. Say, okay, if a person divorced, he should not be married again. That is what they should not be married again. Yeah. I just person, the person that divorced. I shouldn't be saying it here because we don't encourage divorce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't. Glory to God. You don't encourage divorce at all. Because it's God that holds us all together. Glory to God. But in situations where it becomes battery, you know, they call battery. When the man begins to behave like an animal, you would have to leave. Hallelujah. But these days ahead, women are now giving men batteries. Hallelujah. I used to have a neighbor like that, yes, but when we're growing, it's the mother that used to be the father. So the children would sit out there and say, ah, I want to be papa. Amen. So either way, you don't be saying in marriage where the person gives you battery. Hallelujah. Gives you blue. Hallelujah. But most times, it now depends on the situation. Somebody now said, what about if a person has children? Can the person stay because of the children? Emphatically, yes, you can. Hallelujah. But don't stay where they will beat the hell out of you, because when you die, you're gone. How am I saying this? Just take it out of that message. Glory to God. We're having a relationship seminar in July. So preparing, hallelujah. So get prepared. We'll deal with all this. Verse 18, Genesis 2:18. Glory to God. So just mark the timing and then take it off. I don't want to hear it in the message. I'm a young pastor. I don't want to have problems. Yeah. Glory, glory. Amen. So, verse 18. Somebody asked me. I said somebody asked me this question. It was funny though, but it's clear in scriptures what to do at every time. Hallelujah. And God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. It's not good for a man to be alone. If you are not there alone, no. He's not talking about marriage here, but he's talking about the marriage. That marriage will reflect. Hallelujah. But first of all, let's deal with it based on what he's talking about. Talking about the marriage. That every other marriage should now reflect. Hallelujah. So that is to say, our physical marriages are eupodegma. Right? They are pointing to the marriage. So that means we should mirror God and the church in our physical marriages. What do I follow you this? I'm already going into my teaching already. I said I don't want to go into it, but I'm already in training. Hallelujah. You reflect it in your marriages. You reflect it in your relationships. Where you go? Hallelujah. So those of you who are waiting for a man to come and kneel down, you have to reflect what you have in that marriage. If God kneel down and say, marry me, he will preach the gospel to you. Hallelujah. Holy of all ladies, glory to God. No candlestick was burnt. So we have Jesus laid on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No balloon was there, but we had Jesus flogged for us. Hallelujah. There was no flog. Hallelujah. But we see Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Where is the camera? You know, yeah, the sugar in my. Come on, shut up. Rather, I said, he did not wait for me to cry out to you. I'm coming for some people with my rod and my staff. Amen. And for also some people that are going into Pauline ministry and Paulina ministry. I'm coming for you. Hallelujah. Where were we? You know the best place, I've not preached outside for long. I don't spend my time preaching, but I always love to come to church to preach. I'm serious. This is my family. Hallelujah. Is it right? I'll start joke now. I can't do this in another person's church. How will I crack that kind of joke?
They will not invite me again.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he says it's not good for man to be alone, he's explaining that man in his image, heaven and earth. He says it's not good. Now he's explaining that the fact that man in his image is man with the helpmeet. He said, I will make him an helpmeet. So the word helpmeet in the Hebrew is the word Izar. 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 That word Izar is used for God. God never was a woman called Izar or a man called Izar. It's God that is Izar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So people now bear the name Eliza. Eliza means God is my helper. You see that? God is my helper. Hope you're following me. God is my helper. So you have that name around there. If you get to Psalms, the psalmist will say, God is my help. Glory to God. So that name, that word Izar, is used for God alone. So when he says, I'll make him a helpmeet, God is saying he is the solution to man's problem of being alone. Hallelujah. So what is man being alone? Man being alone is Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens in the earth. Is the earth alone? No, heaven in the earth. Heaven and earth together, right? In verse 2, we saw the earth alone. So the earth was without form and void, not heaven and earth. It says earth was without form and void. So the earth is alone. So that will now take you toward Genesis 2:18. It's not good for the earth to be alone, man to be alone. I will make him and help me. Heaven, I will make him and help me. Light. Hope you are following me. So who is the helpmeet? God, heaven, right? Light. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So that shows you something. God gives himself as the answer to man's problem. That is God. Glory to God. So that means God's plan from Genesis is relationship. God's plan from Genesis is relationship based. God is a relational God. He's a God of every relationship. Hallelujah. E.W. Kenyon will put it like this in his book, The Father's Family. He will say the whole plan of redemption is the Father's dream for a family. I took a hold of that word. Hallelujah. He says, I'll say it again. The whole plan of redemption is the Father's dream of a family. God is a family, as he will put it. Hallelujah. God's family. So Genesis 1, 2 and 3, or Genesis 1 and 2, talks about God's family. God's plan of a family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's plan of a family. But when I get to Genesis 28, hope you are following me. You say, come on, we're still going around. Don't worry. Calm down. Genesis 28, verses 10. And Jacob went out from Bathsheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took off the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed, and to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee shall all thy seed and all thy families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in the places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I'm going to say something, and that becomes a problem in our world. I'm going to say this here. It's not part of this teaching, but I need you to see this. Now, he said, I will give unto thee this land, right? Now, that place he was referring to. Now, remember the issue of land. I taught us during Seattle, the land is not a physical place he was talking about, right? Because they moved into Canaan, right? There was still a talk about what? The rest, God's land. And God's land is in Christ, right? But today, we'll find now where Jacob had this revelation or this dream is a place he will not call Beersheba. Sorry, Bethel. Jonathan, Bethel. Bethel is actually in Palestine. Now you see, the war between Israel and Palestine is for the nation of Palestine, right? Because they feel that is the land, right? They feel that is the land. But that is a big mistake in history. Because the land being spoken about here is not the physical land. Hope you are following me. Don't worry. All these things I will teach you. Is there land? No. I won't get to land in Galatians. I was thinking I will teach you land in Galatians, but no. All these things are things you have to see. But I have to bring in the concept of land again. And I'll bring this in. But I will just look for a way to bring it for you to see it again. Hallelujah. It's not a physical place. So we hear they are fighting for Palestine. Some people are saying we are praying for Israel to get Palestine. You are not well. Because that is the land of promise. So we will say, we are going to holy pilgrimage. That is where the Lord, you are not well. Hallelujah. The land is not a place. Hallelujah. The land is in Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Amen. So we'll look at it again. Go to God. Let's continue. Verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. You see that? He called that place the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Did you see that? Did God tell him to pour oil? No. He poured oil to show that that place was sacred, right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And he called the name of the place what? Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. But he called that place Bethel. Hallelujah. Bethel. Now that word Bethel is from the compound word El, which is for God, right? El, God, and another word, Beit. Beit is used for a family or a household. So it's called the household of God. Beit. Let's see references for the word Beit. Genesis 7 verse 1. I'll just take a few and then I'll call out the rest. Genesis 7 verse 1. It says, and the Lord said to Noah, come down and all thy house, that is the word Beit, all thy house into the ark. All thy house into the ark, is it his family? Come on, is it his family? So the word Beit is his family. Genesis chapter 9. Hope you're following me. Amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. Genesis 12, 5. It says, and Abraham took his wife and Lot, his brother, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they have gotten in Haran. Hallelujah. Verse 5, yeah. Okay, that's the word, and all their substance. Now, that word in some translation is put on all their household, right? All their household. Look at verse 17. It says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarah's, Abraham's wife. Is it his house? Is it his building or his family? His family. So the word Beit is used for family. You find that word used in Genesis 14:4, Genesis 15:2. Genesis 16:3, Genesis 17:12, 13:23. Hallelujah. I'll take it again. Genesis 14:4, 15:2, 15:3, 17:12, 17:13, 17:23. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that word Beit is used for what? Family. So when he calls it Bethel, which is El Beit, which is God's family, right? Bethel, God's family. So the Greek rendering of that word Bethel or Beit is the word oikia. Oikia. In John 14:1, Jesus says, in my father's house, that is family, in my father's family, household. Did you see that? Family. So it is family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it shows you that what Moses is writing about in Genesis is about God's relationship. Hallelujah. Or it's about God in his relationships. Moses is writing about God in his relationships. So that's how we hear God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a relational God. When we hear that word God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it shows God is a God of relationships. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Relationships. That's about God's relationship, God's family. Or you put it this way, Moses is writing in Genesis concerning God in his relationship, God in his family. So that means, that is the best way, or put it this way, God can only be seen best, or God can be best described in his relationship. You can only know God in his relationships. Hope you're following me. You can't study God outside his relationships. Look at how you study God. It's in his relationships. Hallelujah. That is how God is studied, in his relationship. His relationship with men. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. You can't know God outside relationship because he's a relational God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when you say that union is what God's family, hallelujah. The union, heaven and earth, is God's family. Light in darkness is God's family. Hallelujah. What are you following me? He's God's family. And in the family, he is seen as father. Did you see that? He is seen as father. Are we in that family? We are. When a man is born again, he's in God's family. What are you following me? When a man is born again, he's in God's family. The Bible says, as he is, so are we. Glory to God. The Bible says, we are, that I'll pray the Father, John 14, verse 16, and he'll give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah, verse 20, in that day you will know, and I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That union is called family. By God's family. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. So when Jesus now writes to them in Matthew 6, and he tells them, when you pray, say, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. They were not saved yet, but he says, say, our Father. Because that is the prayer in redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you call the Lord's Prayer is the prayer in redemption. Hallelujah. So in redemption, they will find God as the Father. Hallelujah. In the redemption, they will find him as giving them the daily bread. Hallelujah. He has forgiven their trespasses. Glory to God. And they look at that, how he has forgiven their trespasses, to forgive others. Hope you're following that. So that is the prayer in redemption. Glory to God. Hope you're following what I'm teaching you today. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So in the family, God is the Father. Jesus calls him Father. John 14, 1. In my Father's house. This is that Father. He is to us Father. In Exodus 4:22, let's see that. He calls Israel my son. Look at Exodus 4:22. Are you there? Glory, glory, glory. He said, thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Did you see that? Israel is my son. So if Israel is his son, that is God's fatherly role. Hallelujah. God is a father. Hallelujah. He's a father. That's why it's called El Shaddai. He's the father. Glory to God. His fatherly role of protecting his children. Hallelujah. He is forgiving. As a father is forgiving. Numbers 14:21. Numbers 14:20. He said, I will pardon their iniquities. I will pardon their iniquities. He's forgiving. That is the fatherly role. As the father. God as the father. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go ahead. In Genesis 18:17. Are you with me? Genesis 18:17. Look at what it says. It says, and the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I like how the Amplified will put it. The Amplified will say, shall I hide from Abraham my friend? Did you see that? My friend. So that means Abraham is God's friend. That means God is a friend. Hallelujah. He acts as a friend. Abraham is God's friend. My friend Abraham. Look at that. Hallelujah. I have a friend. He said, who can I hide from Abraham, my friend, that which I want to do? Did you see that? Well, that means as a friend, he doesn't hide things from his friends that would hurt a relative. Because Lot was in that country. Right? Lot was in Sodom. He said, can I hide from Abraham, my friend, that which I want to do? Because Lot was there. Hallelujah. So as a friend, he doesn't hide from his friend. That's what you hurt another person. Say, so let me tell you what I want to do. I have to go destroy Sodom. Say, Lord, I want to pray. Lord, if you find 10 people, because if you can find 10, find 50, will you forgive them? Is that okay? No, he thought about it. Say, no, this guy is a bad. What about 30? Say, if you for 30 for your sake, I'll. What about 10? Say, for your sake, I will not destroy. For the sake of 10, I will not. But he got there, didn't find. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I hide from my friend? So that means as a friend, he's open. Hallelujah. As a friend, he's open. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hope you follow me. Glory, hallelujah. As a friend, he will not hide. That is to say, as a friend, he stayed faithful to his friend Abraham. God was faithful to Abraham. Hallelujah. He was faithful. Can you say he was loyal? He was loyal to Abraham. He was loyal to his friend Abraham. Loyal. You see, when you talk about loyalty, we'll discuss loyalty next week. Hallelujah. I know I will not be able to run it up next week, but we'll continue. Hallelujah. When I'm back. But loyalty. Loyalty can be 99%. No, you can't be loyal to a point and say, no, I've been too loyal. No, there's not like being too loyal. Hallelujah. There's not like being loyal to a fault. No, you are either you are loyal or you are not loyal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was loyal to Abraham. He kept his words to Abraham. He kept all his words to Abraham. Oh, he told Abraham he was going to visit. He visited. He told Abraham, this is where I'm going. He did. Hallelujah. He told Abraham he was going to rescue Lot. He did. Hope you're following me. He's a loyal friend. He's a loyal father. He's a loyal friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. He was loyal. He's loyal. He was loyal as a father to the children of Israel. The children of Israel, he was faithful and loyal to them. They seen, they didn't, but because he had said his words and he was going to lead them out, he led them out. Hallelujah. They were unbelieving. They were frustrating, but he was still loyal. Loyalty doesn't mean the other person is going to be nice all the time, but you just have to stay loyal. Hallelujah. I believe that this teaching is coming at the right point. At the right point to change things in our lives. Hallelujah. And also as a church, as a family together. Hallelujah. I will see ourselves and stay loyal to ourselves. God expects us after this meeting. After this teaching, to become more loyal to ourselves as brethren in the church. As brethren, more loyal to your family, more loyal to your friends, more loyal to your parents. Because we're going to deal with every relationship. Parents, friends, hallelujah. Relationships like friendship relationship, dating, we're going to deal with that. How to stay loyal. Hallelujah. And I trust the Lord that at the end of this teaching, our eyes will be open much more. Amen. On how to be more loyal. More loyal. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll stay loyal. Hallelujah. The children of Israel, they didn't follow God. But yet he was loyal to them. He promised them that he was going to take them to the land filled with milk and honey, which is the land of Canaan. He took them to that physical land called Canaan. He took them. In the wilderness, they were unbelieving. They were frustrating. You see, they were frustrated that at some point, even Moses got confused. What kind of people are these? But yet, you know, just imagine 3,000 men not recording their children and their parents and their wives stood at their gates. All of them came out of their tabernacles, came out at their doorstep. Father, mother, children. 3,000 men, multiplied by, let's say, 3 or 10. They all stood outside. Let's say 3,000. 3 million, sorry, stood outside and they were all crying. All of them cried together to one person. You brought us to this. They were all crying. Frustrating. You gave them bread. They saw miracle. They never baked the bread. The bread fell. They ate. They say, is the only bread we eat? You want us to? God gave, God gave them food. They said, Moses, you brought us here to kill us, to suffer us. No food. God gave them bread. They ate. They said, is it only bread we'll be eating? Is it bread we'll be eating? God gave them what? God gave them ravens. I think they were frustrated. And if they want to cry, they cry together. But yet, all the same, God was faithful to them. Hallelujah. That's what it means. God was loyal. See, if you're not ready to be in any, if you're not ready to be loyal to a relationship, don't enter into it. If you're not ready to be loyal to be somebody's friend, don't be the friend at all. Don't even accept that friendship. Because once you are bound, once you accept that friendship, you are bound to be loyal to it. And still loyal with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I'm bound to be loyal. God works. Most of when I read the book of Exodus and Numbers, I'm like, what kind of people are these? There's some miracle of bread. There's some miracle of... Then they were walking, they were hungry. I mean, they were thirsty, they began to shout again. You brothers will kill us! You brothers will kill us! You brothers will kill us! God said, okay, Moses, strike the rock, let water come out. They knew how to get things like complaining. What a life. But yet, oh God was loyal. They knew how to get things like complaining. You know, they could have just asked, right? But they knew by complaint, by murmuring. Isaiah and Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians 10. Let us not mourn as they did. Hallelujah. And they were destroyed by the destroyer. Hallelujah. Let's not murmur. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because murmuring is not a virtue in the kingdom. We're going to see all that. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Be loyal to your pastor. Oh. Pastors, be loyal to your brethren. We're going to deal with that. We're going to see God as the pastor. We're going to see God as a member. What to do? God as a pastor, God as a member. It's the scriptures. You see it. How to relate in every relationship. Hallelujah. Before now, I didn't plan taking this teaching. But it came. Hallelujah. While we were in Caris camp, but it became a burden in my heart. And I must teach this in loyalty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I pray, just God that living to teach this. Hallelujah. And I have to live strongly. By now I should be teaching you spiritual growth, right? But I'm doing this. Because this is vital now. This is for the now. Hallelujah. Let's go further. In Genesis 17, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. A covenant with Abraham. And being on that covenant, years after, about 450 to 500 years after, Genesis 17 to Exodus, about 500 years or 500 or 600 years between Genesis 17 and Exodus. Okay, because Genesis 17, okay, Isaac, yeah, over 500 years between Genesis 17 and Exodus 4. I mean, and Exodus 3. And Exodus 3 verse 6, God said, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. He used that word God to redeem. He entered a covenant with Abraham 500 years before. Abraham is long dead. Right? Right? But yet, in Exodus 4, he told Abraham's seed, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. That's the word God. Because of that covenant he kept with Abraham, he became a kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah. He became a kinsman redeemer. He acted as a brother, next of kin, N-O-K. Nest of king. He became a nest of king to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So that is God as a brother. As a brother, he rescued a brother. Because covenant will make you bound as brothers. As a brother, he rescued another brother. Hallelujah. God as a brother rescues his brother. Hallelujah. We also see in this course of this teaching, the kind of friends we should never be to our friends. There are examples in scriptures. Hallelujah. So God is a brother. He redeemed his brethren. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As a husband was a husband to them. In Jeremiah 31 verse 33. Jeremiah 31 verse 33. Are you there? I'll read. It says, 32, sorry. Not according to the covenant which I made with their father in the days I took them out of the land to bring them into the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, said the Lord. You see that? God, as a husband, he led his people. He led his family, the family of Israel, as a husband. Do you see that? As a husband. Hallelujah. Have to behave as a husband. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Have to behave, have to act. So God acted as a husband who sees his husband, his fatherly husband role. He also was a mother to them. We saw his motherly role. Deuteronomy 32:11. God was a mother to them. Hallelujah. We are looking at me. See, when he and the Spirit of God hovers over the surface of the deep, that is the work of the mother. Hallelujah. It didn't say the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let's destroy it. God didn't destroy it. Hallelujah. But as a mother, he hovers upon it. Deuteronomy 32:11. So like the eagle. Hallelujah. So, liking God to the mother eagle. Glory, glory, glory. Deuteronomy 32:11. He says, as the eagle stood above her nest, flooded her young, spreaded abroad her wings, taken them, buried them on the wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. Hallelujah. So God has a motherly role. Hallelujah. God also shows us how to treat errant friends, friends that are disloyal. He shows us how to deal with disloyal friends. He shows us. Hallelujah. We'll see that. Hallelujah. And how? By loving them. By loving them the more. Glory to God. By loving them the more. Israel was not loyal. They were never loyal. But yes, they were the kind of friends you shouldn't have as a friend. But the fact that your friend has disfriended you doesn't mean you will not disfriend them. Okay, how should I put it? The fact that your friend is not loyal to you doesn't mean you should not be loyal to them. I told somebody some days back in my car. There's a lady. I said, see, let me tell you what I do to my friends. Even if I no longer am a friend to them, their secret that they've given to me when we were friends would never be heard by anybody. I have a whole lot of them like that. But some people, the moment they stop being friends with people, they'll go on social media. No. I still know of several people that are my friends, that are no longer my friends. But their secrets are still there to me because they told me that while we were friends. So I must respect those period we were friends and hold that secret there. I don't care even if they go out and say my secret out to several people. Hallelujah! I hope you're following me. The fact that they were disloyal doesn't mean I should be disloyal. I hope you're following me. I hope you're following me. It doesn't mean. Hallelujah! It doesn't mean a fall. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Recently, I heard some things that some people were saying concerning me. Said this, said it in the office, I just laughed. First, and I heard, I just laughed. Say, what would you say? What would you say, Yehovah? Their secret is still saved with me. Hallelujah. Say some nasty, nasty things. People, things that I never expected them to say. In fact, somebody I even helped to get an employment said some nasty things. Doesn't now mean I will not go and start saying this. I'm bigger than that. Okay, but follow me. You will not hear a thing from my mouth. I will never be disloyal. But the Shogun said something. He said there was a time like that. Him and his friend, he had a fallout with his friend. So they were no longer friends. Do you understand me? And he now had an opportunity to go and come and to preach in a very big church. You understand? A very big church. But that church knew him and that his friends as friends. Do you understand? You know them to be friends years back. And as if they know that they are already having issues, so they now gave him a bit. Come and preach for us. Come and preach for us. But they now gave him a condition. On the condition that you will openly declare that you're no longer friends with that guy. Because they said some, you know, they came against those people and their ministry with what they said. They didn't believe what they were teaching. Do you understand? So, but we're going to give you this door. It's a big door. A door that when you enter that, when you start preaching from that place, you blow. You know when you are blown. Do you get me? This is years back, 90s. You know, it was an opportunity to blow. Right? But they told him, you're going to, first of all, denounce your friendship with this guy. Say it openly. I'm no longer friends with this guy again. Do you understand? But he said, no. The fact that we are no longer friends doesn't mean I will not be disloyal to my friends. He said, rather, if this is how this door will open for me, I'd rather not allow it open. So we get the offer. That is how to be a good friend to your friend, even if you are no longer friends. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Stay faithful. Hallelujah. Stay faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, time is catching up on me. Okay. Where were we? Okay, model, right? Okay,
we've seen how we treat erring friends, right?
Yeah, friends that do wrong. Doesn't mean you don't be you don't go out. Some people don't go out too. He's a very stupid person too. Let me even tell you, Shevi is like, no. Even if they call you out on social media, see, if you're inside your house, somebody's calling you, see, or you come on before you answer, right? But I heard that some friends call some people out on social media. They call you, but you answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did they call me out on social media? Yeah. Just look at them and pass. Say, no. You look as if you are weak. No, you are strong. It's weak people that reply. Hope you are hearing me. Weak people that reply. It's a weak man that beats a woman. It's a weak woman that beats a man. Just kidding. I've learned not to say it in one side again. Formerly it's man, but now head is both ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, Jesus being God in man, right? John 1:14. Also, you will see in his earthly walk and in his words, right? How to treat friends and even enemies. Jesus shows us how to treat enemies. We'll look at that. He said, you love them. Matthew 5:43. We'll see that next week. Hallelujah. You love them. It shows us how to treat friends that are enemies. Even enemies. So this person is my enemy. He used to insult me. He's not my friend, no. My enemy. So therefore, because the person said, I will stalk my own back. It will be better for you. Look at your life. Jesus teaches us how to handle relationships, right? What did Jesus do to men that hates me? He loved them. God, for God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Jesus loved him. The Father forgives him. Hallelujah. Peter hurt him. Hope you know that. What Peter did and what Judas did are the same. But most of the people don't get to see it. That's the same. Peter denied. Just put it together. Jesus will say, Judas betrayed. Jesus and Peter denied. It's the same thing. Judas betrayed. Peter betrayed. Hope you know that he betrayed. What do you need to betray? To deny. Hallelujah. To let out. Hallelujah. Peter denied. Peter betrayed. But you know what? When Jesus resurrected, who did you go to meet first? Who did you go to meet first? Peter. So Jesus teaches us how to be a good pastor. Okay, you have to be a good pastor. When he resurrected, Judas has gone to hang himself. If Judas had not killed himself, would Judas have accepted him? Emphatically, yes. He would have. Hallelujah. But as a good pastor, Jesus right there, he said, go and call my disciple and Peter. In fact, he met every other disciple together plus Peter. But he met Peter alone. Only Peter alone. Say, Peter, come. Peter alone. Wow. Remember, I told you, when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. Did you see that? That means something will happen to him. How do you follow him? Amen. So, who restored Peter? Jesus. The work of the pastor, the work of the local church. We'll see that in the book of Galatians also. How do you follow me? That will. How to be a good pastor? How to be a good member? We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He also shows us how to be a good member. Look at Luke 4. Jesus was in the synagogue and he sat and listened. We're going to get to look at all that next week. Hallelujah. He listened as a young boy. He listened. He took notes. The Bible says he took notes and he asked questions. To be a good member, you have to learn to take notes. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. But no, we're just looking at this in overview. We're going to see all that as proceed. Hallelujah. So, therefore, we can say our God is a relational God, right? So when I read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and it says, make disciples, preach the gospel. Is that relationship? Is that relationship? When it says, make disciples is relationship, union, relationship, father, right, friend, right? So it's relationship. What is intended is a relationship. Therefore, God placed for us a pattern on how we treat every relationship. Hallelujah. we find ourselves in. We don't treat relationships by what we see on the media. We don't. Hallelujah. No, we don't treat relationship by what we see from men around. No, we don't treat relationship like that. Hallelujah. I even said most times. We don't treat relationship from the way, sometimes, from the way we find our parents do. It's not that, because why I said so is to say this. It's because some of our parents are not taught. Some of them, they were not educated. Hallelujah. It's not that they don't love you, they love you. There's no parent that hates his child. But there are different ways they try to pass across love to their children, right? But yet, we don't learn from that. You know, there's no school. There's no school where you teach how to train a child or how to be a best parent, right? Right? You know, God's word teaches us how to be best parents to our children, how to be best parents to our wives, our husbands, how to be best to the people around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't learn from people, we learn from God. Hallelujah. Jesus was asked the question one time. What? Matthew 22. We are looking at all this next week. I'm rounding up already. Hallelujah. Matthew 22. What is that greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said, Matthew 22, 4 verse 43. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He said, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, this is the first commandment. That's the word proton nomos. That's the first. He says, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When he says the second is like unto it, that's the word deuteros. When you use the word first, it's proton. Proton is not just for the first, like number one. No. Proton means, this is the model. This is the model. The model is faith in God. Hallelujah. That's it. Then you love. Then when you use the word deuteros. Deuteros is not used for number two. No, it's used for what proceeds from the proton, which is from the first. That which comes out from the first. That is to say, the second is like the first. The second came from the first. The first is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is faith in God. Right? And the second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means the first is faith in God. The second is our work. That means our work, our Christian work, our Christian relationship should reflect our faith in God. When you have faith in God, is a shorthand for faith in God's faithfulness. That means we are supposed to reflect God's faithfulness in our physical work. How we relate with men should show forth God's faithfulness in it. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Don't be that friend that talks too much and talk out all your secrets. No, don't be that friend. Don't be a talkative Christian. No. Mind your words. In fact, a virtue in Christianity is to mind your word. Don't be a busybody. We want to see all this. Hallelujah. Have to be a good friend. Have to be a good friend. So in our friendship, we model God in all of our friendship. We'll look at God's model and we'll put it, we'll use it, we'll mirror God in all our relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is clear in all his relationships. And he expects us to, in all our relationships, to be faithful, to be loyal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are several people who doors of opportunity, they've closed, they've shut, because of they don't know how to handle relationships. Doors of opportunity, they bashed it, they destroyed it. But no, no, there's a second chance. Hallelujah. There are other chances God has provided for us. But we will not misuse relationships. Hallelujah. God is a relational God, and he wants us as his children to show forth his examples, mirror his relationship in all of our relationship we'll find ourselves in. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Let's be on our feet and thank you.